Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. He must increase, I must decrease, is a message John 3:30 invites us to live. Incorporating this into our everyday lives can be a challenge. What keeps your fire burning? We have many wonderful ways to stay close to our faith, whether it be the Mass, spiritual readings, prayer, adoration, or the rosary. This is Catholic Faith Life, and here's our host, Jason Nunez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. This is your host, Jason Nunez, and welcome to episode number 58. We have a very special guest, like I say every episode, but you know what? Every episode, I mean it. All of my guests are very special. And this week is no exception. We decided to take a road trip to our hometown of El Paso, Texas, and hoping to interview a couple people here. So hopefully this will be the first of a series of interviews done here in El Paso. And first up is my cousin, Blanca Lara. Hey, Blanca, how are you?
Hi, Jason. I'm just here.
You're just here. You do not sound nervous at all. Just letting you know right
whatever.
Now. And before I get going, we do also have my beautiful wife with us as well. Once again, say hi, Jeannie.
Howdy.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hey. I'm so excited. Blanca's here.
Yes, yes. For those to kind of give our listeners a little bit of a backstory, Blanca, Jeannie, and myself used to all work for the same company. And as it turned out, Blanca and Jeannie used to carpool. And they had about a 45-50 minute drive to and from work, or to work, and then back home the same amount. So they got to know each other very, very well during those drives. And hopefully we can capture some of that magic here. And before we get going, and before we get to learn more about Blanca and what keeps her fire burning for our Catholic faith, we are going to begin this episode the way we do with every episode, and that is by praying the Litany of Humility. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, Jesus. from the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. And our Jeannie and I's sons kind of made a cameo in the background there during that prayer, yelling at each other. But hey, that's what makes it a podcast, right?
Right.
So awesome. So here we go. Blanca, why don't you go ahead and do us a favor and share with everyone a little bit about yourself, please.
Okay, my name is Blanca Lara, and I'm married to your cousin, Alfred.
That's right. Alfred Lara.
Yes.
Say hi, Alfred.
So...
That's Alfred.
We've been married by the courts about 28 years, by the church, 3.
Uh-huh.
And we have 2 girls, 27 and 15, and 2 grandkids.
Yay.
So my Sophia and Ezekiel, which are the lights of my life at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I still work for ADP, and I love my job. Actually, I think I help people there. Because I take, you know, I think that what I do helps provide for families. It helps provide for the most needed, you know. And then I also, I volunteer at my church, Little Flower Church, here in El Paso. I am parish catechetical leader, and I'm in charge of all religious formation. I teach First Holy Communion, and when needed, I teach RCIA, and when needed, I teach confirmation, and when needed, I teach the adults, whatever. I help facilitate a woman's study group. I clean the church. I work in the kitchen. I work the kermes. I am in the parish council. I lecture when necessary. I've done
so God's hands and feet.
I'm more like an armpit.
An armpit.
Yeah. You know, one time we went to a class and class in theology, and they were, that was one of the questions. If you are the body of Christ, what part do you think you are? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I'm like, I can't be the feet, because I'm not really, I'm more of a on-the-spot person. I'm not really somebody that can, that endures and walks. I'm really not that. Hands, I'm actually very lazy, so I cannot be hands. Maybe a back of a knee or an armpit, because I help support, but I'm not really in a big way, you know?
Now, with all of these roles that you have, I want to understand something. This is also voluntarily, correct?
Yes.
Yes, this is, your payment will be received later. It will be received beyond when it matters the most.
I think this is a payment for favors already received.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes. So, taking a step back and looking at the big picture, Blanca, you're married, your mother, your grandmother.
Yes.
you're gainfully employed. Mm-hmm. You really are a spiritual leader, and I would say too many, because of the many hats and roles that you fill at your parish, and not only at your parish, but for the diocese, because mm-hmm. we came in town on Saturday, and we went to Mass Sunday with our family at a different parish, and there you were with your two daughters, you know, raising money for your parish at another parish.
Yes.
You know, we're people on, you know, mm-hmm. someone wrote a song a long time ago that said, easy like Sunday morning. You know, we were at Mass at 8:30 and you were already there. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
That song does not apply to you.
Oh.
Easy like Sunday morning does not apply to you.
No. I get up very early. Right now, I'm in my off season for sacraments.
Right, yeah. First formation's off, so yeah. You have time to do other things.
So right now, on some Saturdays, I go in at 7:30 or 8 in the morning to help clean the church. Or like right now, we're selling raffle tickets for our Kermes. So mm-hmm. I have the time off, so I go and I do that. I mean, there's always some way to help.
There is. And Kermes is, I want to get to in a moment, because we're going to put a pin in that topic. Because okay. I'm going to say this with all of my heart. I miss Kermeses. I miss them.
Gorditas, yes. Enchiladas.
Yes, don't say too much. We're going to get to that in a moment. So.
He cries.
Yes. Especially during the summer when it's like season for the Kermes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so. Like the nostalgia hits an all-time high, and he is sad. Like his dog just died sad.
So, if you're not working, mm-hmm. and if you're not at home being Blanca, mm-hmm. you're at church filling some kind of role.
Yes.
So I'm very comfortable in saying this, that it must feel like a job. You know, you probably do it because you love it. That's why you're doing it, right?
Right.
But I'm sure at times it feels like a job, because I know that Jeannie and I feel that way sometimes. We volunteer at our parish, and sometimes it's like, man, we're volunteers. But, you know, sometimes it gets to a point to where it feels like a job. So how do you, Blanca, keep your fire burning for our Catholic faith? And how do you keep going back and filling these different roles and getting up at 7:30 in the morning to clean the church on a Saturday and getting up at 7:30 in the morning to go sell tickets, to go raise money and educate the youth and be that positive influence they need? All that is rooted and weaved within our faith. What is it that keeps you to do that?
Well, there's several things. First, I grew up in a home where there was church was not, it was a normal thing. My grandmother used to clean the sacristy. She used to go and cook breakfast for the priest. You know, we were little, and she used to take us, and we used to sit down and have chocolate with him, you know, in Juarez when we lived over there. So me seeing somebody serve at the church is normal, first. Second is that I've been so blessed, and I love God so much that I wish I could just explode with... I mean, really, I wish I could show the whole world how much I love God. And that stops me from being tired. That stops me from being bored. That stops me from quitting when I can't move anymore, when I'm in pain, when I'm whatever. And it just, I mean, my heart wants to burst out. And so I can't stop. How can I stop? That's how it is.
Wow. Talk to me a little bit more about growing up and those experiences and just seeing, you said it was your grandmother, correct?
Yeah, my grandmother. Well, my grandmother was illiterate. She only went up to second grade. Mm-hmm. She was born in Mexico City, and she was brought to Juarez. And she stopped going to school, and she stopped helping her mother work. They used to work at the mercado. They used to have, you know, sell things and whatever. So my grandmother never finished school. She just was working. But there was always... they would go to church first in the morning, and then they would go to the mercado. So she grew up that, you know, that same way. So when we came along, my mother used to work, and we were always with my grandma because she was the one that would take care of us. So every morning we would walk to church. We would, you know, back then, you know, it was with dresses, and we had to have gloves because we couldn't touch the host. We used to wear veils, and we used to, you know, be at mass every day. And then she would go in and help in the church. And then devotions, as far as devotions, I mean, we had rosaries. I learned how to cook a hard-boiled egg praying.
Wow.
Because if you want it soft-boiled, it's three Our Fathers. If you want it hard-boiled, it's six Our Fathers.
Wow.
We used to, in the afternoons, she taught me how to knit. And every single stitch, every single, you know, puntada was one of the beads from the rosary. So, you know, Virgen de Guadalupe, we used to have champurrado and the rosary, and, you know, so everything about we were fully immersed in the faith at all times. There wasn't anything else, you know, that's what we knew. I mean, there was images everywhere. There was, you know,
right.
Yeah,
that's
hardcore.
Yeah, indeed. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So,
Blanca?
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to have to repeat yourself because everybody wants to hear this again.
Really?
Yes.
What are we repeating?
How do you make a hard-boiled egg?
Okay. You boil it, right? But you have to say three Our Fathers slowly and deliberately to get it a soft-boiled. You know what a soft-boiled egg is, right?
It's still runny on the inside.
Yeah, it's still runny on the inside, and it comes out perfect without it to being too gooey and too whatever. And you do six of them, and it's hard-boiled.
And these are Our Fathers.
Our Fathers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we learned them since we were very little.
Okay. Slow and deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it seems like it takes a very long time to boil an egg.
Not when you're praying.
Nope.
Slowly and deliberately.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, that was one of the things that my grandma, the reason why she made it that way is because she says that you don't say a prayer running. You don't go fast. You have to slowly and deliberately say each line so that you can know what it means. So we used to practice with the boiled eggs, and if it was too fast and she would open the egg and it was too runny, she would tell you, you didn't do it right. Yeah, it was very funny.
That's beautiful. I love that. You mentioned that you and my cousin Alfred, you've been married civilly for 23 years?
Yes. 28 years.
28 years. Oh, my.
Yes.
Okay. And by the church, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, for anyone that's listening that may be married civilly,
mm-hmm,
and isn't married to the church,
mm-hmm,
can you kind of give us like a Cliff Notes 101 version on what the significance is? And then maybe after that,
oh my gosh,
if you're comfortable expanding why you two decided to do it.
Okay. you know, we were very young and we were not sure of where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not something that we could do, because for one thing, I know what it means, the commitment that it means. I don't think Alfred was prepared either. It was never something... I don't think it was an option at the time. I don't think it would have worked at the time. If we would have taken those vows back then, I don't think we would have done it in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've gotten older, and both of us served at the church, and both of us, you know, we have, our faith has grown. And about 5 years ago, my mother passed away. And unfortunately, my mother passed away, and she was not married by church. And I saw how much it hurt her that she could not take communion.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Alfred, please, whatever you do, you either decide that we are going to get married by church, or we call it quits, because I cannot do the same thing as my mother did. And it was hard to see her. And actually, for many years, I had seen, we sit in front, in the very front pew, and I would see people go up and take communion, and it was physically painful to not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what it is. I have full knowledge, and because of it, I know that it was not something that I could take lightly. And so eventually we talked about it, and we decided that it was, well, he decided that it was time.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, we got married on Valentine's Day, and which was our anniversary, because we got married by the court on Valentine's Day also. And it was a beautiful thing. And since then, I made a commitment that since I was, my dignity as a woman of faith was restored, I do not go into a church where the Blessed Sacrament is, where our Father is, without veiling my head. Because, I mean, to me, it was the most beautiful thing in the world to be back in the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Veiling is, I'm going to say this, it's coming back. You know, mm-hmm. it went away for a while.
Yes.
And it's coming back. And the explanation you gave on why you do it, it makes perfect sense. For someone that's listening, they may not know what veiling is, because I don't believe I've spoken with anyone. I probably have one of my earlier episodes with Tai Tong. I believe she veils. But it's probably been about a good 20 or 30 episodes since then. Can you expound on veiling a little bit more, please?
Veiling is something that was required pre-Vatican II.
Right, pre-Vatican II.
And the thing is that Vatican II did not do away with veiling. But since they didn't mention that there was a change, it was assumed that it was removed.
Mm.
But it was not. It was just not a topic that was raised during Vatican II. So we should still veil. But, you know, it wasn't, first of all, it was during the 60s. It was, you know, liberation and this and that. This is oppressing me. This, you know, the culture, and then the changes during Vatican II. And it just kind of went away. You know, it kind of got put in the back burner.
Mm.
women that were around prior to Vatican II. Some still do it. But the thing is that it was never taken away. It should still be done because the church believes that everything that brings forth life and is sacred to the Lord should be veiled, like the tabernacle, like the altar. And as women, we are also bringers of life, right. And therefore we should be mm-hmm. veiled.
In turn, Mary was a tabernacle as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I mean, you know, because I had learned all of this in the classes that I took, and because I always saw my grandma veiled always and whatever, when we got married, I made a promise that I was not going to present myself to my Lord without
the veil.
That, yes, without claiming that dignity that he has given me.
Awesome. For those listening who want more information on veiling, I will put a link in the show description that provides more information on that in case you have any further issues. You're so further curious about it. But it's definitely something, especially with a lot of the young adults, I've noticed. It's been coming back mm-hmm. quite a bit, which is honestly, it's very, very beautiful to see. Speak to us about your faith formation and the works you do there, because I can only imagine how working with children and educating them with our faith, mm-hmm. how that can keep your fire burning for our faith.
Well, it's nice to see that at their age they still have that awe when they see things, because they believe them so much mm-hmm. that you could see it in their eyes. And one of the things that I like to do is when we start formation in the first month or so, you know, I'm starting to teach them prayers and things like that and objects of the church, you know, like, you know, this is this, this is that, this right. is the altar, this is whatever. I like to take them to the Blessed Sacrament and tell them that Jesus is right there looking at them, and they can kneel and talk to him, and to see the wonder in their eyes mm. is just amazing, because mm. they're like, wow, you know. And it is so beautiful to see the light in their eyes, to see things through their perspective. It's a beautiful thing. I think that's one of the things that keeps me teaching, because I like to rediscover my faith through their eyes.
Through the children's eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
There's even, and I'm bad with this, but I know there is a Bible verse about believing like children, mm-hmm. something to that effect. I'm bad with reciting it verbatim or even giving the exact source of it, the book and the verse, but I've come across that before. Mm-hmm. We're having like childlike faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good. The which faith formation class do you primarily work in? I know you kind of work in all of them. You're kind of like a Swiss Army knife there for a little flower. Yeah. You know, you're one of those tools where you can pull it out and it's a screwdriver, and then it's a toothpick, and it's a knife, and it's all this other stuff there, a magnifying glass. And mm-hmm. where do you primarily fill a role in?
Well, I do the administrative stuff.
Okay.
But I like to be in the classroom teaching First Holy Communion. I think that's where, because I love stories, so I like to teach them like the Bible stories, and then teach them like the lessons that come with it. That would be my preferred class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, everything else I can do it, but that would be where I feel the most joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with little kids. Mm-hmm.
And that would be Matthew 18:2, where Jesus says that we must become as little children.
There we go. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
A raise.
That's right. That's right. So Bible stories.
Bible stories, yes.
It's kind of neat when you tell a Bible story to a child, and you, again, like you mentioned, that look of awe,
yes,
on their face, you know. Mm-hmm. Where you tell them about Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. Or one of the many other Bible stories that they learn at that age, Adam and Eve. And, you know, you can kind of physically see the dots in their brain connect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not only that, but kids, they can share some really enlightening opinions, mm-hmm, at such a young age. It's very inspirational to see when you see them get it.
Right.
And they share with you their thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, I never would have thought of it that way.
Yes.
You know, because yeah, they're veil. You know, they still have their veil on.
Yes.
They don't have, they're not jaded or anything like that. So right, they have that innocence that they can look through that veil still.
Mm-hmm. And then you get to our children's age and they take the Bible story and they take it one step further all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And either it goes completely right or you have to redirect them.
Yeah.
Kind of for it to be,
yes,
bring a little
back.
Right.
You gotta bring him back. You gotta bring him back.
Because they're like, well, if it's like Adam and Eve, and then they connect it to some YouTube video that they've been watching,
and they
try to make sense of the Word of God through, mm-hmm, the Word of today,
mm-hmm,
you really live through them then at that, mm-hmm, point and go, how do I bring you back?
Mm-hmm.
How do I say yes but no?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I love the childlike faith. I love that awe and wonder. It's now that I have... My kids can't tell you their age with two hands anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They are required to take off a shoe and display the number of years that they are on their feet. And I've noticed that after that, you know, once you hit your double digits, it gets their faith and their love of it either goes way up, mm-hmm, or they start to retreat a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's when they start to question why. And this doesn't make sense. And this can't possibly be. And how can he have been in the belly of the whale for 3 days without suffocating? You know what I mean? They start to ask these questions, and you're like, okay, it's a metaphor. It is symbolic. It's not supposed to be an actual fish.
Literal
fish, yes. You know, because they don't... When they listen to stories, like, for instance, they have... When they're young, they have the mentality to believe in superheroes. They believe in fairy tales. They believe in... Because why? Because it's real to them. They can see the possibility of it. And that's when you need to instill God, because it's still a possibility for them to see... For them to actually see God. Now, if you want to start when they've already reached the questions, it's much harder to reach then, because by then they're like, no, that can't be real. No, show me. No, this. And then we start into the that they want the Bible or the stories or the parables to be actual, real, tangible things. And the Bible is not that. It gives us truth, but not facts. I mean, if you take the historical books of the Bible, they give you a abridged version of mm-hmm, events. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you dates. They don't tell you right. times. They don't tell you that from this event to this event, 50 years happen. And to them, you read it to them, and it has to be chronological, and it has to make logical sense to them, and it doesn't. And you can't... if you try to explain to them, well, there's gaps in that. Well, then why does it say it like this?
Right.
trust me.
But that's not just children.
That's adults.
That's adults. Right. That's people who come to our faith. Mm-hmm. We had a question in RCIA this year, mm-hmm. which just rings so true to what we're talking about, there being no time frames. Mm-hmm. And if you read our creed, mm-hmm. it's like, why is Pontius Pilate mentioned? You know, in certain countries, in certain places in the world, they will not name people who have done evil things because that's giving them credit, right? And so they're trying to bridge the time of today to the time of the creed. And they're like, well, why is he mentioned? He's, you know, he's responsible for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And an interesting thought was presented where somebody said, and this is an RCIA catechumenate, you know, hasn't been baptized, is walking their faith journey to enter the church, gets the answer from somebody walking that same faith journey. Mm-hmm. Not the catechists, not their sponsors, not the longtime Catholics, but somebody else walking that journey saying, oh yeah, back in the day, you would name in history books the time that the emperors ruled. Mm-hmm. Because then you could say, okay, Emperor A was from this time frame to this time frame. Mm-hmm. But they don't say from this time frame to this time frame.
Because they didn't have a calendar like we do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, so Emperor B, and then there's Emperor C. Mm-hmm. And that's where Pontius Pilate comes in, that in our creed, we have to give it a time, mm-hmm. but we don't say year, this.
Yes, actually.
And mm-hmm. and that was just like beautiful, because I'm thinking, okay, like this is the beauty of our faith, that even newcomers can offer their perspective and teach us something. Mm-hmm. Our faith is over 2,000 years old, mm-hmm. and we are always learning.
Absolutely.
And that's where childlike faith comes in, where we need to have that curiosity. We need to be engaged. We want to learn. Mm-hmm. Because kids at this point, they're like, well, how do you make a boiled egg, right? Mm-hmm. But...
grade three, our father said, there you go. That's how you do it.
Six. Oh, six. Okay, Alfred says six. He likes his very well done. Yeah. But, you know, that's something that we as Catholics, or any person walking any faith journey, needs to be able to do. We need to be open to the idea of learning a new way mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's very true.
Because God's sense of humor is so huge. Uh-huh. That you just gotta roll with the punches sometimes, yes. You know?
Yep. Yes, you do. Before we get to our parting questions, we're gonna visit our pin. And we're going to talk about kermesses.
Oh, kermesses.
One of my favorite topics.
Okay.
And again, our faith has many, many different ways that keeps our faith beautiful. Mm-hmm. And kermesses is one of those ways.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we don't have our fair share of kermesses in San Antonio. So the summertime in San Antonio, although be it beautiful, and there are many, many different events, and we are blessed to live in a city that offers a lot of events, especially for young adults, to where we can go and we can attend adoration together, and we can go and we can attend theology on tap, and there's a lot of other events we can do. We would have to really search and look for a parish that offers a kermesse.
that's anywhere near.
Oh my god.
That's anywhere near the level of any El Paso Guedemez.
Really?
Yes. Oh.
So you literally need to go to the state fair,
right?
In order
in
for
like
it to
Dallas.
Be
so
somewhat comparable.
So I think we've teased it enough. Blanca, give us, you know, if you can do us the honor. And for anyone who's listening who's not in El Paso or who's not in not a part of a parish that offers a Guedemez, they're also known as parish festivals. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how they're known in San Antonio. But please fill us in all the glory and greatness of a parish Guedemez.
Okay, well, first of all, the parish Guedemezes are usually around the time frame when the patron saint of that church is celebrated. Mm-hmm. In our case, it's Santa Teresita de Jesus, which is the little flower. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate as close to her feast day on a weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's a celebration for the community, all the good that we did that year, you know, whatever. We're celebrating our church community. We're celebrating all of our successes and near misses. And it's done in honor of that patron saint. And it's a lot of fun because we have game booths. We have lotería, which is bingo for, you know, basically bingo.
Bingo, yeah.
But, you know, with fun little characters. We have the food is amazing.
Yes, please.
Gorditas.
Spend a minute speaking about the food. Thank you.
It is homemade.
Everything is homemade. Yes.
I mean, it's made in the church grounds.
Yes.
So for me, I know this is a little sacrilegious, I'm sorry. But to me, when it's made on holy ground, it's holy food. And it's just
blessed.
Makes it that extra delicious.
Yes. We spend weeks and weeks and weeks preparing for that.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I did not know that.
Because look, okay, this is how it goes, right? We get all the donations and everything. We get all the vendors to, you know, for it. Then the week before, people start going on Monday and chopping up things and making bags and bags and bags of chopped lettuce, chopped onions, chopped potatoes, chopped this, chopped that. Thursday and Friday are cooking days, which is like beans and rice and cakes and chile, because we can't forget chile.
No.
So Thursday and Friday are cooking days. And then a Saturday morning, we wait for the health inspector. And as soon as they say go, then boots are on. And then we start cooking there, making the gorditas. But everything else is already prepared. Like, for instance, the meat for the gorditas is made Thursday or Friday. The beans are made Thursday or Friday. The rice, the masa for the gorditas gets prepared and put in bags, and it's ready. So just so for the tortillada on the Saturday and Sunday. But it's a lot of work.
If you do not know what gorditas are, make your way to a Guedemez or church bazaar in El Paso and look for the longest line.
The line that is typically out past the gate.
Yes, gorditas. But you know what? We got smart. We usually put 3 gordita booths to lower
spread
the lines.
It out.
And those are still the longest lines at any church bazaar.
Yes.
So look for the longest lines. I stand corrected.
After you have your order of gorditas, you can then go and possibly win a cake at the cakewalk.
At the cakewalk, yes. Mm-hmm. We have cakes. We have mariachis. We have margaritas. We have, you know, churros.
Yum.
Enchiladas.
Aguas frescas.
tacos asados, discada.
Yes. There's also hamburgers and hot dogs.
Hamburgers, hot dogs.
Nachos. Oh my gosh,
I'm getting hungry.
Yes, I understand why.
Raspas.
Mm. For those that do not know, raspas are snow cones.
Snow cones, yes.
Yes. Yes, but
Mexican
better.
flavors.
Yes, they come in the flavors of
red,
blue. Green.
Yes. It's not strawberry. It's not strawberry.
No.
It's not watermelon.
No.
It's not bubble gum.
It's not coconut.
No. Not coconut. Your flavors are blue, red, green,
and purple.
And purple.
Yellow.
Yes.
And you can ask for rainbow.
Rainbow.
Too.
Yes. If you're feeling kind of frisky there, you can get rainbow flavor.
Getting adventurous there.
If you win in Loteria, you could win anything from a ceramic frog. To, you know, China.
A shoe.
You could win, you know, and of course prizes normally are, you know, donated.
Yes.
Whatever, you know, people have in there to give you. So there are also different games you can play. There's the duck pond.
And we always have music.
Yep.
And we have folkloricos and mariachis and... It's a lot of fun, and you know, it's a lot of work, but the community celebrates together.
Right.
And that is what it's for.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, that may be the weekend that the church is the busiest, because people go for the festivities, mm-hmm. you know, that are outside of the sanctuary. But it's always my hope and prayer that, you know, a small percentage of those... attendees will find their way inside and remember what it's really all about.
Yeah, and it's also a chance for us to evangelize, because
right.
with our joy, we show that it is a good thing to be at church.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break here. I have a quick question for you all. Do you want to support the podcast? Well, you can. You can help the John 330 podcast by working with our sponsor. When you need to buy or sell a house anywhere in the country, even in Canada, please give Rob DeMaio a call. You may remember Rob from episode number 27 when he appeared with his wife Camille. He's an experienced, award-winning realtor and can help you find an exceptional agent at no cost to you. Think of him as your real estate matchmaker. Just call him, tell him your needs, and he'll connect you with exactly the right agent in his extensive network. You can call or text Rob at 210-488-1144. Again, that's 210-488-1144. Tell him you heard it right here on the podcast. Now, back to the show.
So now that we've taken that trip down memory lane, we're going to go and get to our parting questions here.
Boo. This is not my favorite part.
Because that means we're almost done.
Yes, but it is my favorite part in terms of what the answers are going to be.
So, Blanca, mm-hmm. if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Superpower.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Star Wars.
Just a little bit.
So Jedi skills count for all intents and purposes in this particular episode.
Mm-hmm. Huh. If I had a superpower, it would have to be...
Yoda is not a superpower. Yoda is a character. You cannot say Yoda and it'd be a superpower.
We can't make a Yoda Star Wars movie. I'm going on the record here.
That would be next
okay.
to Boba Fett.
Okay,
the
we
Yoda
need
movie
to have another podcast
right.
to discuss that.
Yes.
Because I have very strong opinions
yes.
about that.
A lot of people do, trust me. She
offended like half of the St. Matthew's youth group when she made that statement the other day.
Oh, yes. It was an intense conversation, and I absolutely just loved it because they all went at it.
Uh-huh.
And they were going at me, but it was fun because I knew I was just pushing a button.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that they said everything I told you minutes this before when we had the same conversation.
They did.
We all had the same argument, yet I had not shared it with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that if I had a superpower, I would like to have the power to convince people of the greatness of God and the love of God. Because I think I fall very short of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my weaknesses, that I don't have the words to say what I feel.
Mm. Like, you feel it in your heart, but just to get it from your heart out to your mouth,
it doesn't come out
into
right.
The world.
And that's what I would like. I would like to have that superpower to be able to say what I feel.
Oh my gosh, you know who has that?
Who?
Matthew Kelly, Krista Fanick, Mark Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Jason Everett.
I haven't heard him.
Oh, you
and
have to.
Father Robert, Bishop Robert Barron.
Thank you.
And mm-hmm. they are just some of my favorites.
Yeah,
of course,
they're so, so eloquent.
Scott Hahn goes way deep, and I love him for that. So I start with Mark Hart, and then I work my way up, because Mark kind of just gives it to you straight, mm-hmm. and in a way where you can understand it, and that's the way I need it, because I have to be able to throw it out to my youth,
mm-hmm.
which are my two children, and then like hope it sticks, right? And then for me, for it to really stick, then I go Scott Hahn.
Yeah.
That's...
Yes. Yeah. If you want eloquence, then you look up Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Yes.
Fulton Sheen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. Blanca, who is your favorite saint?
Santa Monica.
Saint Monica. Saint Monica.
Yes, she is the patron saint of alcoholics. She is the patron saint of mothers and impossible causes.
Awesome. So, Saint Monica, pray for us.
Pray for us.
If you could describe how you live your faith with a hashtag, what would it be?
Hashtag. Hashtag, what's next?
Can you elaborate?
Because I'm always looking to see how else I can serve. What's next? What's next? What's next? What else can I do?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Hashtag what's next.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are hungry for that what's next, and they just don't know where to go. We've all come off a retreat, and especially men, and we come back on Sunday. And we want to be in the Knights of Columbus. We want to be a lector. We want to be an usher. You know, we want to be on the next team. We want to be the director of the next team. And we want to be an extraordinary minister. And we want to do all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a month later, you know, that flame dwindles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm doing this. So that way, hopefully, people can hear an episode. And they can realize that they can learn how to cook the prank.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is that you don't really, if you want to look for a big thing to do, you're going to keep looking, because you're never going to find that big thing where you fit in correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look for something that you can do, and even if it's the smallest thing, that has more effect on other people than you to try to do the big things. I believe in living your faith through every single little thing you do, like boiling an egg. I mean, because it might sound funny, but you know what? If you can live your faith through those little actions, then you're living what God intended you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I think people they overwhelm themselves with wanting to, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and they forget about the small things, being kind to somebody, smiling to somebody. You don't know what their day is, and if you smile to them, then that could mean the whole world to them. Maybe they're having a bad day. Even just, you know, helping somebody open a door. You don't have to live your faith in huge steps. You can do it a little bit at a time. And if you do that, then there's always the question, what's next? What's next? What's next?
Mm-hmm. This is great because it's leading into my last speaking point for you, I guess is the way to put it. What message do you want to leave our listeners with?
I would like for people to see how magnificent God is in everything. Because I think we take him for granted. And like Alfred said earlier, he's not a Band-Aid. He's not an aspirin. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's a breath of air. He's the next step you take. Because like, you know, for you and for me, we have health issues. And mm-hmm. there's days that I have to force myself to take the next step. I have to force myself to do the next hour at my work. Mm-hmm. But if I take that next step, I can see that God is working. Because I could be paralyzed. And I'm not.
You're not. By the grace of God.
By the grace of God. I shouldn't have children. Guess what? I have two.
You have two.
And now I have you have
two grandchildren.
Exactly. By the grace of God. You know, everything that I've had to live, everything that I've experienced has shown me God over and over and over again. And there is not one moment, even through suffering, where I don't see him. And that's what I would like for people to see, how magnificent he is.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So Blanca and Alfred, thank you for taking time on your evening. And Blanca, thank you for sharing with us what keeps your fire burning for our Catholic faith. In John 3:30, we do find that he must increase, I must decrease. I want to thank our executive producers for this particular episode, Dr. Jeff Vista and Buzz Lamoureux. Thank you very much for your continued support of the podcast. For anyone listening, if you'd like to be a guest, by all means, I'd love to speak with you and find out what keeps your fire burning. You can send me an email to john330podcast@gmail.com, or you can message me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we can set something up. Even though we made a road trip to El Paso, and I'm speaking to Blanca here in my parents' dining room, live and in person, right? That doesn't mean that I need to do that for everyone. Thanks to technology, I can record episodes not only in person, but I can record them long distance, either through a phone call. If you heard our episode last week, episode number 57 with Kid Catholic, that was done over the phone. So we can just certainly record an episode that way. We can even record episodes through Skype. So not limited to El Paso and San Antonio and speaking to people there. So if you would like to record an episode with me, just go and contact me, and I'd be happy to set aside some time and do the same thing with you. And we are going to go ahead and end this episode the way the Nunez family ends our time, every time in Mass, whenever we attend, and that is by saying the intercessory prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everyone, thank you for listening. Blanca, thank you again for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great rest of your day, and God bless you all.
That's good. birds came down with the dove. This is my son, and I am pleased. He must increase, so I must decrease. And now my heart is open wide. I must decrease, so the center of my life. He must increase. He must increase. He must increase.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.